What's up, guys? Hope you're doing well. Glad with you here. And it's not my episode. It's Chris Myers. What's up, Chris? I'm going to turn it over to you. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, yes. Verses 9 through 12 today. So yes. Hit me.
Well, I'm going to hit you, as you say. I'm going to read the passage, 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 12, from the Christian Standard Bible, the CSB. So the official Baptist version.
Yes, the Lifeway Bible.
Yes. So 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 9, the Word of God says, "About brotherly love, you don't need me to write you because you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. In fact, you are doing this toward all the brothers and sisters in the entire region of Macedonia. But we encourage you, brothers and sisters, to do this even more, to seek to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, so that you may behave properly in the presence of outsiders and not be dependent on anyone." So this passage, there's a lot there, just hitting it really quickly. You kind of, if we look at the larger context, just if we go back to verse 8, that section closes with, "Consequently, anyone who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit." We're reminded that if we go back to the first chapter, verses 4 and 5, Paul writes, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full assurance." And so we see there that he recalls that it wasn't just that they heard it, but that they received it, and there was action to it. And so here he is, he's basically breaking it down and saying, okay, this is how you're living with one another, and we're encouraging you to do it even more. He says, you don't even need me to write this to you. He said, you yourselves are taught by God. You know, they've been given the word. It's God who is being active with the Holy Spirit that's teaching them. And then he says, to love one another. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say just hear it, but to do it. We see also in chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, he says, "This is why we constantly thank God, because when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you welcomed it not as a human message, but as it truly is, the word of God, which also works effectively in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, since you have also suffered the same things from people of your own country, just as they did from the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and persecuted us." It's just Paul keeps going back to this. You heard the word because we proclaimed it to you, and the word is doing its work.
It's showing fruit.
Exactly. Yeah. And so he's saying in this instance, he says, hey, let's take brotherly love, for example. He said, we see that you heard the word. We see that the word is at work because we see you doing it. And he says, not like a dad who says, you know, hey, you made an A, but why didn't you make an A+? Or you made the team, well, why aren't you batting cleanup? You know, it's not that kind of thing. He says, hey, we want to encourage you because we see you doing it, and we want to encourage you to do it even more. You can't do enough of this brotherly love thing.
Keep on going.
Yeah, keep on going. And so he says, do it even more is what he says at the end of verse 10. And then he kind of explains, like when we're talking about brotherly love, it's not these extravagant expressions of love. Like, it's part of everyday life.
Yeah.
Like he goes on to say in verse 11, he says, to seek to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. I mean, there's nothing earth-shattering there. He's just, you know, lead a quiet life. You know, don't go bothering people. You know, don't
stirring it up.
Yeah, it's not these grand gestures. It's just live a quiet life. Mind your own business. You know, stay out of the business of other people. Now, certainly what he's not saying is, hey, don't worry about what other people are doing. because that's not brotherly love, right? Right. Brotherly love is we
being the busybody.
Don't be a busybody. Yeah. But just like Paul's doing for them, encourage people in that. He's definitely not saying don't pay attention to one another. And he says, work with your own hands as we commanded you. And why do these things? Well, we don't have to guess because he tells us in verse 12, so that you may behave properly. So here he goes back to it matters what you do. He says, in the presence of outsiders and not to be dependent on anyone. The first thing he notices is, hey, there ought to be a difference between the church and those outside the church. And one of these things is this brotherly love, this coming alongside one another, this encouraging one another in the everyday stuff of life. And so we have that. But then he says, and not to be dependent on anyone. And again, putting this in context, he says in verse 13, he says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. And he goes on, and he basically shares about the gospel again. Yeah, and he goes into the end times. And then how do we encourage one another in our daily walk? Well, he tells us in verse 17 and 18, he says, then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul is all through this letter is painting this beautiful picture of what our lives are to look like inside a local church, and that we are to love one another, you know, in a brotherly way, that we are truly brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are to encourage one another. And this not being dependent on anyone, he speaks to this is that there's this concern that some were looking so forward to the Lord coming, and they all lived in such a way that they believed that the Lord was going to come any day. And
I'll just stop what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so there were
whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that were falling for that, you know, that lie of the enemy that, well, if the Lord's going to come back, you know, then why bother with these things? It's like, no, because the Lord is coming back, because the Lord could return at any time, we ought to be encouraged with that, to live as true brothers and sisters in Christ in that. And it reminds me of Jeremiah chapter 29, you know, when if we go back to those exiles. Did I allude to this last time we were
doing the
podcast? As I was looking at your face, Cloud, across this microphone, I was thinking, did we talk about this before? But
it's okay to talk about it again.
But, you know, but
if we don't remember, they might not remember.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you go.
Exactly. So you know, here's Jeremiah the prophet. The Lord is speaking to the exiles, those that had, by God's design, that had been conquered and were now exiled and were living outside of the land. He tells them how to live. And you remember, he tells them, he says, you know, hey, build houses, plant gardens, marry, have children, give away your children in marriage, all these things. Hey, live in the
life.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like this description. I think sometimes we get so, we want to do these grand gestures, or we think, okay, Lord, what is your will? And we think of these big things, and he's like, well, this is my will. I want you to live among one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, encouraging them that I'm going to be returning. And so that's what we see. And part of that is that through this encouragement, we're living in this way so that our message to the outsiders, to the unchurched, to the lost is more attractive because they see what it is that how our lives are different from theirs.
That's awesome. You know, yesterday was the first part of chapter 4, so verses 1 through 8, and I was with us, and we talked about it. It's the text that everybody's familiar with. It says, abstain from sexual immorality, and Paul's like, y'all know this, like, do this. And this is verses later that we're doing, Paul immediately, even in verses 1 through 8, he says, see that no one wrongs his brother in this matter. And he's alluding to sexual immorality, and he brings up the brotherhood thing. And now just this next few verses that you're talking about is brotherly love. This, do this, and do this, and do this. And so one of the main kind of takeaways is, like, it's not enough to say, hey, don't do that, which we all know. Paul's like, you've heard, do this instead. Yeah. Do this. And so when you're talking about your, which text did you use? Second.
Jeremiah.
29. I don't know where I got Samuel. Yeah. Jeremiah 29, and it's like that's just like daily life stuff. There's a pastor, and I won't name his name because he got into a bit of trouble. He's a little bit of a crude guy.
Yeah.
But he always said some quote, and I'll paraphrase it, but it was like, if y'all really want to like make strides for the gospel and live a life of faith and godliness, you know, mow your lawn, shut your mouth, and do your work, right? Yeah. So it's it's, you know, I know that's crude, but it's not enough to say, hey, don't do this. Y'all know that, like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Do this instead, and this brotherly love that you've encouraged us to do. And so,
and isn't it interesting that he points out, you don't need me to write this to you. He said, God's teaching it to you, but I'm writing it to you and I'm encouraging you to do more of it. We all need that encouragement.
Amen. Yeah. Chris, do you have anything else or you want to pray for us as we close the day?
I think that's all I have, but I'd be glad to pray.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just, we're thankful for your word. What a gift. And that we can read your word, that your Holy Spirit gives us understanding, and you give us the church to help encourage one another in this. And so, Lord, for whoever may be listening to this today, Lord, I just pray that you would encourage them through your word, that they would recognize this as not something that Chris and Cloud came up with, but this is actually the word of God.
Amen.
And so as we look at that and we believe that, certainly we don't reject it, but Lord, you want us to be obedient in it. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would encourage us and use one another to encourage us and help us to get that at a greater level, and so that we can become a church that truly is a city on a hill. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, man.